Begin the current daf, Mesech the Shabbos daf, Nun, begin on the base. Begin the taste during Maschal, this begins the words of the Gemara. Shimon, he says that by Nazir, that Chayfef, that he could scrub a Mephasphis and he could separate, Bechulu, etc. Shetosh can explain, how do we know that Reb Shimon permits for the Nazir to do this scrubbing with Nesa Bechel, which is the point of the Gemara? That is because the Gemara had this rejection of what the Gemara originally thought, that the machlekes of the brises is if you cannot do an action, is that enough then to just mentally designate it? And the Gemara says no, could be that actually it's a machlekes between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon regarding if davishein miskaven. So that the Gemara rejects, that you can't say that, because from the fact that the time of the brisa that permits, which allegedly is Reb Shimon, but then it says, but you're not allowed to go ahead and use that, although you're allowed to use it with a silver vessel, that would be like Reb Shimon, Davish and Miskaven, but we find that regarding the here, it says that's forbidden. Obviously, it's not like Reb Shimon. Why? Because Reb Shimon permits, as our Gemara, as our Tzidkenu Masechta is quoting, he permits the Nazir to go ahead and to scrub his hair, and he's not concerned for the hair to fall out. And because it's a davish ein miskaven, so that contradicts the brisa that you're trying to say. He's like Reb Shimon. Now, what's bothering Taisus is, how do you know Reb Shimon over here that was we're bringing permits the nazir to scrub us here with neser and chayil with the sand? Maybe this that he permits is specifically without neser and chayil. And maybe you're right, neser and chayil. Maybe you would agree you can't because it is a psik reisha. So then the brisa would be like him. How's the Gemara rejecting that as like Reb Shimon? Says Taisus, no. That's what Taisus coming to say. Umayri and Reb Shimon over there is talking about Benesa B'chal. They're scrubbing you here with this Neser, this type of alum and sand. Because it's not Basa Hachay, but Paragimel Minu. Because the Mishnah after that in Nazir Daf Membez Manav says, Reb Shmuel, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no. Nazir lo yachav reisha ba'adama. A Nazir is not letting scrubbers here with earth, because it pulls out the hair. So obviously he's coming to dispute the opinion before that, which is this opinion of Reb Shimon that permits it even with earth, which is the case of Chayil and the Neser. So obviously that we see that his permissibility was even with Neser and Chayil, and therefore again, that's why we couldn't say that Brisa we thought was Reb Shimon, obviously it's not like Reb Shimon. Next Taisa, the Master Taisa begins the words of the Gemara, Avaloi Sayrik, but he cannot comb. And Taisa explains the reason why it's forbidden for Nazir to comb with a comb, which we said that Reb Shimon permits one to scrub his hair and to comb with his fingers, let's say, but not with a comb. Why? So Taisa explains, Hasam Afarish Taima, there the Gemara explains the reason why a comb is problematic, even according to Reb Shimon, from the Lasharas Nimen, Hamadul Dolis Miskaven. Because there, when he's combing with a comb, his intention is to get rid of the stray hairs. And since that's his intention, if it's going to happen that he's pulling out the hair, it's going to come out that it was not unintentional. It was intentional, and therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, you can't qualify as a Dove She'ain Miskaven, it's a Dove Miskaven. And therefore, if he's pulling out the hair, that's being intended, and therefore, that would be problematic in the Koran Reb Shimon. The next taste of the Master begins the words of the Gemara, B'mayu Kimta. So what are you saying now? The new interpretation is Krib Yehuda. The problem is a Seifa B'chulu. Shai's going to explain what's the Gemara's question from the Seifa. That is, we had this reinterpretation of what it's talking about. Though really, both Tanoim of the Brises are both like Yehuda. The one that says forbidden is concerned for the scraping, which is memachik. The one that says permitted says, no, we're not concerned. It doesn't really scrape. So that the Gemara asks that from the fact that the Tana, the Brisa, says you're allowed to wash your face and your hands and your feet with Nesan Chayil, obviously it's not Reb Yehuda. How could you say the Tana, the Brisa, Reb Yehuda? Reb Yehuda holds, it's forbidden. As Taisa explains the Gemara's question. That is, Bish Lemik Reb Shimon, if it's like we had explained previously that the Brisa was like Reb Shimon, Sasir Shaper. So these two parts of the Brisa would make sense. Because maybe you could say like this. The Saris Panabi of the Baraglub, the hairs of the face and the hands and the feet. So Enim Neshus Maher. Anyone who knows anything about the way hair grows knows that those hairs don't fall out so fast, even in aging men. Well, I have a segregation, therefore it's not inevitable. Yes, Bashari, therefore that's permitted to go ahead and put on elements that are going to tamper with the hair because they're not really going to fall out necessarily. And okay, so it's a Davashay Meskav, and that's Mutter. Also, but we would understand why the Bryce is saying that on the head it's forbidden, because you could say David Psigreshi. I mean, we reject it ultimately. We couldn't say this for a different reason, but the Bryce itself, then you would say that, yeah, the head is forbidden, David Psigreshi, because that's inevitable. The hair on the head falls out quicker, and that you could say that putting on these things would make it fall out. Al-Hashta, they came to Kribyuda, but now that you explain that both Bryces, including this one, is like a Behuda, then Avagav, the Lab Sigresha, even if it's not inevitable, Havalon Lameser, Behuda holds Davashem Miskaven, there's always Asr if it's going to happen. And from the fact that the Tana holds that it's permitted, obviously it does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that because on the face, the facially could fall out, definitely possibility, and therefore that was the Gemara's question. That seems to be not like Rabbi Yehuda. The next Tezer, the Masechta Tezer begins the words of the Gemara, Ma'u lev tzaya zeisim b'Shabbos. What's the halacha regarding crushing olives on Shabbos? Which tries to complain exactly what is the Gemara's question. They ask from Rav Sheshes, what can you take a stone and crush the olives on Shabbos? So Pesach B'Kohen, just Rashi explains, the question was la'koisim ala sela, to crush it on a rock. And why would people do that? Is la'matkem b'miridusim, is to, you sweeten the olive, is bitter. When you crush it, it sweetens it. It has a chemical reaction. So Tais explained, what was the Gemara's question? He asked the Shabbos a question, if it had been on Shabbos, Mishum Ashab Yuchla, because what happens is that you're making it into a food item, because you're making it like really edible, because up until now it's bitter, by crushing it, you're making it able to eat. And therefore that's a question, are you allowed to, it's like tikkun, which is fixing, like Masakaman, that you're not allowed to do. So that was a question, if you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. And that of Parach, and that's what they asked on that Rav Sheshet asked on them. He says, "What do you mean? Well, forget about during Shabbos, where you think you're allowed to do it during the weekday. What's that point that he was saying? Because there's a loss of the food. What's the loss over here? What do you mean? Just sweetening it? No, shenifset hamashka hazabman, because the liquid that oozes out goes to waste when you're crushing it on the rock. And there, but that was the question. Forget about Shabbos. Maybe you can't even do it during the weekday. That's an interpretation according to Rashi." It says Tosafot Kasha lefizeh, but based on this interpretation, it's difficult. Because the Beperek Chavos, later on, the Kuf Mem Gimel Beis, is Gabbai Din Eschito, where the Gemara there discusses the laws of squeezing out Havalei L'Misa. That's what should have said it. Because this is something regarding squeezing out something, is that permitted to be done on Shabbos? If it has nothing to do with the content and the context of our daf, of our Perek. Moreover, another question asked Tosafot, Ma Hefsid Eichon Yesh? What does that concept mean to say you cannot do it during the weekday because of the loss of food? But kibin sha'isla saknim, the whole purpose is for food, it's for eating. How could you consider to have sa'ichlan if it's all about to tikkun eichel? So Mefarash Shri, so the Re explains that this is what the Gemara's question is. Ma'al of tzaya, what's a locha to crush the olives? Why are you crushing the olives? Not like Rashi said to sweeten it, to eat it. It's locha upon the biyod of raglab. It's to scrub it on his face and his hands and his feet. Kahid el, this is exactly the context of what we speak about before, about using things as creams, the shampoos and on the person's body. And as Tosafot explains, v'derech meizesim, that's actually the norm of olive juice, lahavru lalaban, that is to get rid of dirt and to whiten the person's body, because amasechus avodah zarah, like the Gemara says avodah zarah, where it's talking about a vessel of wine that was used in the state of Tuma, and you want to use it in the state of Tara, shecholtem b'reischin, you could either scald it with hot water, or emulgin b'meizesim, or you could purge it with the olive juice, which we see that, the olive juice is a cleansing agent. And therefore, that's the same thing that one would do with his body. And therefore, that's the question regarding, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos as it relates to the, like we said, because certain things you're not allowed to use upon the B'yad V'ragla. That Uparach, and that's what the Gemara, that's what he asked back to them. He says, forget about Shabbos. You think that's going to be permitted to be done during the weekday? Why? That now it makes sense. They can have to, because the loss for the juice is dripping out, because dinamas and lachila. Actually, more of a taste says, because whatever you're using it for bathing purposes, that makes it disgusting for eating. If you're doing it for tikkun eichel itself, fine. So that's the whole purpose is for eating. But here, where it's going to get ruined, and you're not doing it for eating purposes, you're doing it just for certain types of ointments, that maybe that's what he's saying, that during the weekday, even that would be forbidden. Here next taste, the master that begins the words of the Gemara, Bishvil Tsa'aroi. If it's because of his pain. Taste comes to explain exactly, it's not just necessarily physical pain, it could even be emotional pain, which the Gemara had said, don't bother him, he wouldn't even use his beard not only on Shabbos, because he wouldn't use it even during the weekday. Why? He holds like that Tana that says you're only allowed to do things on your body that are for pain, like scabs on the body. But to beautify, that's forbidden. It's only for tsar. So Taish comes to explain that, he says that, ve'imein li tsar acha, but even if you have no other physical pain, and you don't really have physical pain, it's elishim is bayish leilich bein b'nei adam, it's just that you're embarrassed to go with that physical situation between people, shari, that itself would be a permissibility, as Tosafot says, the ein lecha tzar gadol mizeh. Anyone knows anything about emotional pain knows that as great as physical pain is, it usually does not compare to the emotional pain, and therefore there's no greater pain than that, and that would also be a permissibility, even according to one the whole generally, it's a problem, but la yilbash, to go ahead and do these things to beautify the body because it's being done for pain, not for beauty. Here next text, the Master text begins with words of the Gemara. Everyone agrees that if the pit gets ruined, shasur lahach, so that you're not allowed to put the pot back in. Text comes to explain the reason why it's not permitted, which seemingly is just tilted on the tzad from the gizei tzemer that are muktzah. And that is a machlekes in the Mishnah. When you have the pot that's concealed in the what you're being matan and insulating, if it's in a box, so you say what you do is, this is machlekes. Rabbi Elazar said you tilt it, and the Chacham said no, you could take it out normally and put it back in. So on that, the Gemara said that Rabban agree that if it collapses, forbidden to put it back in. How machlekes is regarding initially, are we concerned that it's going to get ruined or not? And the Chacham are not concerned it's going to get ruined. Now, what's bothering Tais is that why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azar concerned that maybe the pit of the insulation is going to collapse and going to fall in, and they're not going to be able to get it back in, and everyone agrees to that concept. It's just the question is, are we concerned with that or not? But why? Why can't you move it when you by pushing the pot down in? That's just tiltum and atzat. So that's what Tais explains. He says, the filler Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi, the Amr Beper Kalakim that he says later on the Kavchov Gimel and Alf. That if let's say you have something in inserted into something that's mukta, he says no problem. Teichiv bakush or bakarka, you can take these types of instruments and you can stick it in, and mehein ninaris me'alein, and you could stick it into the thing they're trying to get to, and that'll make the mukta items around it fall off by itself. Why? Because the tiltum on that side, leish made tiltum, because the indirectly moving the mukta item is not considered a problem about moving mukta. And says Tais, b'chein kaimel, and so do we rule the tiltum on that is permitted. So why over here is that any worse? Why when you're moving the pot down, isn't it moving it indirectly with the pot? So Tais explains, no, because hacha adiv tvei mitiltum atzad. Here it's worse. Well, he calls it better, but it's like what we call worse. It's stronger than just irregularly, indirectly moving something. Because shetzarach letaltel eilich ve'eilich kesheretz lahatman. It's not enough just to, like you stick in that by the case of the koish and the karkar. You just stick it in, it falls by the wayside. Here it filled up the hole. Here you would have to actually would move the pot to have to push away those gizei tzemer, that would be more than just tiltum al tzad, and therefore that would be forbidden, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi. And therefore, everyone agrees that if the pit would get ruined, like the Tais de Masl, it would be forbidden to put it back. Sure, next Tais de Masl, it begins the words of the Gemara. Elein neskalkal aguma, if the pit didn't get ruined, then pshita, then it's obvious. Which Tais is based on his girsa, based on our girsa, actually, it's exactly what Tais wants to say. But Tais had a girsa, that the Gemara's question was, if the pit didn't get ruined, then it's obvious. Then it's obvious that the question is that the Tais is bothered. He says, why is the Gemara's question that if the machlekes Rabbi Elazar and Rabban is when the pit didn't get ruined, that it's obvious that you could put it back? He says Tais is what tfei have little mitzvah. The Gemara should have asked stronger that if we're talking about that the pit didn't get ruined, that might tell me the man the usr. Not that it's so obvious from the one that says mutter. It's a bigger question. I'm saying, so why would the one who says usr, pshita, you could say fine, okay, fine. But it's a still correct opinion. Here it should have said, what's the reason the one that says forbidden to put it back? But you don't have to move the anything of mukta. Nothing happened. But according to our Gisa, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. We continue the next text, begin the words of the Gemara. Gurdisa de kani. So it's going to explain that why don't we say that it's forbidden for a different reason, because you're using a tree. That is, the Gemara had all these halachas of different things that you have to stick it in and take it out from before Shabbos. And one of them was with this gurdisa de kani, which like these are from a tree that the branches are tied together. You're allowed to stick the knife in there on Shabbos, even though it wasn't there from before Shabbos. And Rashi explains, and the reason is he's not concerned that it's going to come to peel the branch. But Rashi says, Minni, learn that's a type of a tree. And Tais says it's a type of tree. Kipesha, Kunj, like Rashi explains, Kedemash, Boisin, Basin, like it sounds like when the Gemara evened up your tesser and paste. It's discussing a type of a tree. Now, but Tais is bothered by a question over here. Forget about that you're not going to be peeling any of the branch, but it's a problem because you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. So Tais, Mairi Lamata Megimel, we're talking about where the tree is within three tefachim from the ground. The Leka is a Mishtamish B'Mechub, but then there's no problem about using something attached to the ground. Because what the Chamit forbidden to use a tree is specifically when it's above three tefachim from the ground. Then it's considered its own distinct area, that's forbidden. But within three tefachim, it's considered like the ground itself, which you're allowed to walk on the ground. And Kedam Per Kol Kalim, like the Gemara says, Lerendav Kav Chafayim Abayz, which that refers to the Gemara over there was talking about a grapevine, which is attached to a pitcher, and you want to draw the water with that pitcher from a well, so you're allowed to fill up on Shabbos. She explains that it's attached to the grapevine. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? How could you use something that's attached to the ground? You might come to detach. And that the Gemara says it's attached to a tree within three tefachim of the ground. Where, like we said, then we don't have the gzera of using a tree. And so to Perek Basad Erevin, the last Perek in Erevin, Daf Kofim and Alf, where there, Mishnah teaches that a tree that its roots are higher than three tefachim from the ground, you know, I'll sit on it, which that's what it's brought to in the Brisa, so that's in the prohibition of using a tree on Shabbos, because you might come to detach from it again, but within three tefachim, obviously, that we don't have the concern. Next, Taisdir Masdad begins the words of the Gemara. Taiman lefes vitznainis v'chulav. Someone, if he buries a turnip or radishes, etc., Taisdir comes to explain why is there no concern for Meister? And that is the Gemara brought these teachings that you have to stick it in, take it out from before Shabbos, or else it's like Tiltal Muktza. On that, the Gemara rejected from a Mishnah Masechta's client. Which you see ultimately that we're not concerned for the tiltal of the mukta. It's if it's happening indirectly, it's going to be permitted. Now, in that Mishnah, it spoke about this case of, as the Tais Damascus was talking about, where you put the turnip on the radish beneath a grapevine. So they said if some of the leaves are not buried, then we're not concerned for Klayim, for the laws of Shemitah, for Meiser, and you could take it on Shabbos. And that's the last one, that was the main one the Gemara was bringing for, that we're not concerned that you're moving a mukta earth. Now, Taisa says, this that we're saying that the turnip and the radish is buried beneath the grapevine, so it says, Akarchach b'shalohi shri shemayr. Obviously, we have to talk about that they didn't take root. The b'shri shalohi n'tol m'shabbos. Obviously, if they took root, you wouldn't be able to take it out on Shabbos, because that would be a regular sapling, which obviously is, you're not allowed to be kaitzer on Shabbos. But then Tay says, Tay has to take a second look. He says, Vim Tay, if you're gonna say Bishle Miklaim Bashvias, I can understand the law regarding prohibited planting in the vineyard, two types of species. Ushvias and the fact of something planted on Shemitah has certain prohibitions. It's Suklashmina. I can understand that the Mishnah had to tell us that we have no concern for the laws of Shemitah. Because the Lug is reading the Kishamas Gamal Hatan. It's coming to tell you, we don't make a decree that when your intention is putting in the ground just to refrigerate it, let's say, we're not concerned Otu Dilma Oslin Linita for a case of when you're really putting it into planting. That we come to tell that no. And therefore, there's no problem about climb, no problem with Shemitah. It's not like it's planted. We're not making zero like it's planted. Of a Meiser, the question is regarding this that it says, oh, and there's no concern for Meiser, for the tithes. A Mainakte. Why is the Mishnah take that? Because the Afila Hishrishu, even if it took root, Leshaich Meiser, wouldn't apply any obligation of Meiser. Why not? Because keeping the Lekut Tesefis. There's no additions over here. Nothing more grew. The Meiser is only on growth. Now, so Tesis gives an option. He says, now, be Nakte, if you're going to say that the Mishnah says it, it's coming to tell you this Chiddush. The Shari La Astrim and Atolish Memakam Acha, that you're allowed to take Meiser from something, some other produce detached from some other place, a love on this produce. Oh, last slice in Meiser, I'll tell you the opposite. To make this mice, this produce that's in the ground, Meiser on Altosh, on some other produce that's attached, meaning regular produce. And what's the chiddush in that? But Lechashim, we're not concerned Dilma Asi La Astrim and Altosh Amachuba Lehebba. We're not concerned that you might come to take tithes for something that's detached, unattached, or attached to detached, which is problematic, is that they both have to be detached from the ground. And here, you might say that, oh, it might get confusing because it looks like it is attached, even though it's not really, and we would maybe say it's prohibited, and that's the chiddush we're saying it's not. So it says you can't say that, because in Kain, if that would be the case, then it shouldn't have said there's no concern of Meiser. Should have said, have a Leilaminka Truma. Should have said no concern of Truma, because Truma and Meiser are both the similar obligations, but we find the B'chol Duchta in every place, Ragul Ahaska Truma. Whenever we mention ideas like this, that we're proposing is possibly the chiddush, we generally mention the concept of Truma. Kedama, like we find the mission of Trumas. Ain't terminal atalash al mechuba. This halach is mentioned in the law in the context of Truma, although it applies to both, that you cannot take Trumas from that which detached unattached. Paris arugazu tlushim. We find the produce of this row that's detached, ye Truma Paris arugazu mechubarn. Should be Truma for the Paris of this row which is attached. Meaning to say, you see, you mentioned Truma, not Meiser. So then again, what's the chiddush of this halacha that's no concern for a quote? Meisers. So Vaimari the Re says, because the regilas who it's normal shemisayisvin machmes lachluchas akarka, that actually it does increase growth simply by having the moisture of the ground. So when you're being timing the halefes of atznayin, there is going to be growth. K'meishan niroyim shumin betzalim, says tastes like we see garlic and onions shemitayisvin afilikishem nochem bechaloyin, that they grow and they have growth even when you put it in the window. Ah, says tastes regarding that additions of growth. that the Mishnah was saying that you don't have to take tithes because it's not planted. So although there's growth, there's no obligation. It's only when it's planted and there's growth. And it says Taisus v'dafka nokara toimin. And the halacha of the Mishnah was specifically when you are toimin, which is just that you're coming to insulate of miskaven l'ti. But if these radishes and turnips were in the ground for planting purposes, then yeah, chayshim mishum kulan. Then we would have the concern for all these things of klayim and shmita and so on, because it would be like it's planted, even though it's essentially the same thing, but it would be something else. It's not just being toimin it; it's actually planting it. The next Taisus v'dafka begins the words of the Gemara. Mixus alav magulam. If some of the leaves are uncovered, are not buried under the ground. So I'm going to explain, why does the Tana have to tell us here that some of the leaves are uncovered? That is, again, like we said, the Gemara brought this Mishnah to contradict those opinions that you have to stick it in and take it out. What was this halacha? That if you have these turnips and radishes beneath the grapevine that you concealed underground, if some of the leaves are uncovered, then we're not concerned, again, like we said, for klayim and shmita and meiser, and you could take it on Shabbos. Now, what's bothering Taisa is that why does the Tana say that specifically that some of the leaves are uncovered? Who cares if all the leaves are in the ground? Why would that make a difference? It's still only refrigerating. It's not planting. So Taisa says, Mishum debay lemisni, because the last case we wanted to say in the Mishnah is when they tell him b'Shabbos, is that it can be taken on Shabbos. So therefore, nokad mixas olam magulam. Therefore, it's picked specifically that some of the leaves are uncovered. Like Rashi explained, that only that some of the leaves are not buried could you go ahead and grab a hold of it and then pull it out of the ground, because it was all buried inside. You wouldn't be able to get to it. You'd have to move the earth, which is muktza, and you wouldn't be able to do that. So therefore, that's why I had to say mixas olam magulam. But Taisa brings it, ba'orach mashm, and the orach, it sounds like that actually the mishum kula nokad. Actually, the reason why we said this mixas olam magulam is actually for all the cases, but it's not really mixas olam. Is the Pirish B'Shem Rav Haigoin. He actually explains the name of Rav Haigoin. The Gar said his girsa wasn't just the leaves. It was imhoyu miktsasim magulam. If some of the actual radish and the turnip was uncovered. Why? Because what was bothering him was shim hi mohois, if the whole radish itself or the turnip is timun bekarka, and this is what the town was bothered by. If it's all buried in the ground, va'ala magulam, and let's say only the leaves are uncovered, what do you mean it's just, you're just insulating the ground? That is planting. What do you think planting is? You put these types of vegetables in the ground and that's how they grow. So of course you have to be concerned with klayim and shmita and mice and so on. Eladavka, that's what the Talmud is going to tell us. No, if muktsasan, only some of the radish and the turnip is in the ground, but some of it is megulim, is uncovered, then you don't have to be concerned for klayim and for shmita, because the lavazri, that's not considered planting. Now, but then says Taisus, but umasha hiksha, this that the Aruch asked on Rashi interpretation, that according to him, all of the vegetable was buried in the ground and only some of the leaves were uncovered, that he says, how could you say like Rashi, but that's considered planting? Says Taisus, lav pirche, that's not a refutation. Because the balei shrisha, although it's in the ground, but it didn't take root, it could be like we explained, and therefore that's not considered planting, even though all of it is in the ground. Now, but then actually Taisus says, l'pirusha, according to the interpretation of the Aruch, kasha. The following thing is difficult. Because the Perek Haloyin, the Gemara Eben of Ayin Zayin Manav, the Gemara says, "Come, Rabbi Chil." Rabbi Chil says, "Following Halacha, he says, Kafa Safam. If someone goes and turns over a basket that's near a wall, so it's like memait. It diminishes the height of the wall, which there in the Gemara Eben, it's important whatever the dimension of the height of the wall is. And by putting the basket there, it diminishes the height, because it's like the wall starts only where the basket ends on the top." Upark, the Gemara asks over there, I, when they tell us B'Shabbos, as you can see on top of Nanalef and Nanalef, who, I, there's something that's taken away on Shabbos. So, by my mind, why is it diminished the height? It's not like permanent over there. B'Shani, the Gemara answers, no, the Isla Ugnim. This basket has a lid at the end, the Chabri Ba'ara, and you're able to attach the basket to be permanent over there by attaching it to the ground with the lid, which is you turn it upside down. And you stick it into the earth. Now you can't move it on Shabbos, because if you're going to come to move it, you can move into earth, which is muktza. So therefore, it's like it's permanent over there. On that, a parak the Gemara asks, "What v'chiyeshle may have? Who cares that it has a lid at the end that you're putting into the ground?" But v'tnan, we learn the Mishnah, which is what our Gemara is quoting. We have time and lefes v'chulu. If someone goes and buries a turnip and a radish beneath the grapevine, etc., etc., you can take it on Shabbos. So it's obvious that since, even though that you cannot move the earth itself, but you could take out the radish, and that's not considered a problem. But moving the earth, so then the astigma over there. So there's the same thing over here by the bottom of the lid of the basket. What's the problem? That shouldn't be considered a problem about moving the muktzah earth. That's what the Gemara asks over there. But that has toys on the Aruch, but the E Garis, but if the Girus is, like the Aruch has in our Gemara. Not that Mixas all of Megulim, but Mixas Megulim, some of the vegetable itself is uncovered, is not buried. So my Parak, what's the Gemara asking over there from our this Mishnah we're quoting here of the radish on the Halacha Rebbe Chiel? It's not the same thing as that basket with the lid at the end, because over there, by the lid that sticks out from the edge of the basket, when you bury it on the earth, it comes out that there's earth on the ledge of the basket. So over there, when you're going to take it out of the ground, you're obviously going to be moving the earth through the end of the basket, which just sticks out by the end of the walls of the basket. So it comes out that the lids are moving the earth, which is piled up on top of it. Whereas by the turnip and the radish, where you tell me part of the vegetable is out of the ground, you're not moving the earth directly when you move when you're taking it out of the ground, because nothing's on top of it. It's some of it is revealed. So if I remember, the Rish says the Yeshlim, what you could say is that no, because the benetia by the planting of the radish and the turnip, ikka karka kasha, there's hard ground. The dovik beyaser, and therefore, yeah, it's more attached. And hence, when you take out the vegetable, even though the vegetable itself, part of it is uncovered, when you take it out of the ground, it's going to be moving the earth. And therefore, madame lelasafa sheshli ugin. Therefore, it is comparable to a basket that has a lid there, because just like that, you're allowed to take out the radish and the turnip, even though it's inevitable because the earth around is hard, you're going to be moving the earth. So too says the Gemara, that's the Gemara's question, they should be permitted to take out the basket, even though the lid at the bottom, at the edge of the wall, is going to be moving the earth that's on top of it in the ground. Now, Taisa also continues, and don't ask on the interpretation of the Aruch that he explained, that this that the Tana says that some of it is uncovered is because of all the other halachas, and not necessarily because of the case of to move it on Shabbos, because regarding Shabbos, the way he interprets it, it's not about that you could grab onto, because it's not talking about the leaves, it's talking about actually part of the radish itself. And that seemingly has no relevance to Shabbos, has only regarding the other things that have to do with planting itself. So then says Taisus, in way of asking a question, says, don't ask in the Aruch. The Mai Parak, then wait a second, what's the Gemara's question from this halacha of burying the turnip and the radish? Were you allowed to take it out from the ground on Shabbos, where some of it is uncovered, and we're not concerned that the earth is going to move by itself? And therefore, the Gemara asks Lishmuel, who he says, no, you're not allowed to move this likusa from the earth unless you had stuck it and take it out from before Shabbos, because it's going to be moving the earth. On that, the question is, wait a second. Lema say, the Hach Mishnah Savor, that Mishnah that we're bringing from the radishes, hold, tiltum on that sad loish made tiltal. Yeah, because indirect moving of a mukta is not considered moving, which is Kelazab and Tadai later on this Masechta. Why do you say that some of it has to be uncovered? What do you mean? None of it has to be uncovered. You can move it indirectly by pulling on the leaves. Oh, that's for the other cases. But not because of Shabbos. Because of Shabbos, it's actually permitted even if all the vegetables is buried in the ground. Because you can pull it by the leaves, and that's tiltum atzad. But Vishmuel, that says forbidden to remove this likusa from the earth on Shabbos unless you had stuck it in and took it taken off before Shabbos, is Savakrabban, the Ozak Drabban, that says forbidden to do tiltum on that tzad. So it says no, because the Igle Member, what you could say is the Mashmele, it sounds like to the Gemara, the Mishum Shabbos Nami Nokala. No, that this halacha of the Mishum was also said for the laws of Shabbos. Why? From the fact that it didn't say explicitly, that regarding the laws of Shabbos, you can take out the vegetable even if the vegetable is totally covered, which then we would have understood that because we're not concerned for moving the earth because tiltum on that tzad, for the fact that it doesn't say that, obviously that no, if it was totally covered, it would be forbidden to take it on Shabbos, because that would be considered a bona fide tiltum on that tzad, which is kirabonan. And vafalachin, that we see that even though we're going like drabonan, not like a Elizabeth Adoy, that even though they hold generally tiltum on the tzad is muktzah, but miktzas and megulin shari, but we see not like Shmuel and those other teaching, we see that as long as some of it is revealed, it's going to be permitted, again, which refutes their interpretation. That's why it's not difficult on the interpretation of the Aruch.